Kia ora, ni hao and hello. Welcome to the Cherry Journal podcast. I'm your host, Camille Yang. My guest today is Liv Wong, a renowned Premier League journalist with a massive following of millions. I've been a follower of Liv's work for quite some time now, admiring her unique content creation and interviewing style with Premier League footballers. Recently, I had the opportunity to meet Liv in person during my visit to Manchester. Needless to say, it was an incredible experience sitting down to talk with her. So, get ready for an insightful conversation about Liv's journey, experience, and perspectives in the world of football journalism. Welcome, Liv. Nice to meet you in Manchester, and welcome to my podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Can you share with my listener about your background, like where are you from, and how did you end up in Manchester?
I'm from Beijing. I grew up in Beijing. Beijing is still my city and will always be my city. I usually say I'm a content creator, but if you really ask me what I do on a daily basis, I cover the Premier League here in the UK. I lived in London last season and recently moved to Manchester, which I'm loving at the moment. We'll see where we end up.
Can you tell me how did you enter the football world? Because, you know, it's a very male-dominated world. And how did you end up here to be a journalist?
I first started watching football in 2006. The Germany World Cup. I was very little at the time. I think World Cup is just one of those things where everyone focuses on one thing, is football, whether you were a fan before that or not. So ever since then, I've been a fan. And my favorite player is Michael Owen.
Ah, okay.
And at that time, he played for Newcastle. So I watched Newcastle for a little bit because of him. And then in 2009, he moved to Manchester United. I moved with him. And ever since, I've been a United fan. I actually told him this story because he played for Liverpool, so he still thinks of himself as a Liverpool legend. But I told him, I'm a United fan because of you. He's like, yeah, that's interesting to know.
Yeah,
but he also said that players can play for different clubs in their career, but fans, when they choose a club, they never change, which is fascinating. So yeah, so ever since then, I know I wanted to do something in football, about football. I actually majored in English, so I know this is my strength. And I kind of realized back then, I actually haven't been doing this for a very long time. Maybe 3 years ago, I realized there weren't many people in this industry, at least for Chinese viewers, that create really quality content. Well, there was content, but I feel like there was room for improvement. So I wanted to, bring my talent to Chinese viewers. And I think we are doing that.
Yeah.
And we are creating more content for Chinese viewers and content specifically for Chinese viewers, which is something that hasn't been done before.
And can you share with me your workflow? Like, how do you prepare the interview with a player or the coach? So how is your routine like?
Yeah, so we do interviews, like longer ones, where we sit down. And we also cover games on match days. So we go to this match and then we report there. So it's quite different, actually. So on the match day, of course, you got to prepare for the two teams' specific stats. Usually, if I can, I'll go to the press conference the day before. You can only go to one, I guess, because they always happen around the same time. And then if I cannot be there in person at the press conference, I'll find the video on YouTube and listen to what they have to say before. And pretty much everything you can find online from the two teams, because not only managers do interviews, players before a big match, they do interviews as well. Then see the team news, who's going to be absent and who's coming back. And then head-to-head, the importance of the match, everything. And then on match day, we will do a lot of filming before the match. Also get to talk to some legends, usually legends that play for either team or both teams sometimes, which is also fun. And after the match, we'll talk to a player or a manager, sometimes both. Yeah, on match day is quite intense, but I feel like if you're in this industry, you live for that adrenaline. For the longer interviews, it also depends because sometimes we know a lot in advance that we're gonna do this interview, but sometimes it's quite in short notice. But quite similar is I'll try to find whatever I can find online and try to know more about this player. So if there's something he says, I'm always prepared. There wouldn't be something like, oh, he asked me a question, I wouldn't even know what he was talking about. Yeah. And then, because I want to do this for Chinese viewers specifically, so I always ask them what they want to ask the players, because you do this not for yourself, right? You don't talk to the players because there are things that you want to ask. Of course, there are things I want to ask, but you're doing this for your audience, and the audience are so far away. A lot of them cannot be here and don't have the privilege to meet the players and have a feel of what they're like. So you really need to show it to them within that short slot that you have. So a lot of times it's not just about questions that you ask, it's more about giving them a feel of what the players are really like as people.
True.
I think one thing quite different from other broadcasters that we do is that we don't ask really conventional questions. We try to ask something different. I wouldn't say groundbreaking, but we're kind of doing that. Because on the same day, there will be several interviews lined up for them.
Mm.
And if you all ask the same questions, players get really tired of them. And by the end, the answers will be really short. And it's not going to be good content for you. But if you ask different questions from other broadcasters, it's something new for them. And a lot of times, they enjoy that. And because China is so far away, they are quite interested to see what fans there feel about them and how they show their appreciation. This is what I'm doing. I know there are Chinese viewers that don't like that. For some reason, I don't get. But I actually got a lot of positive feedback from Chinese viewers, but also from foreign viewers. I got like English comments a lot of times saying that I like that you're bringing the Chinese element to it.
Yeah, because I remember I read some comments online that people like to know players' Chinese nickname. Can you give me an example, like take a Ruben Diaz one as an example?
I was actually going to take him as an example because he's called husband, right? Hubby. Yes. So, which is like definitely a compliment, but also kind of bold because it's very intimate, right? And it shows that people do think that he's attractive. So I wasn't really sure how the club's going to feel about it, but when I explained to them, they're like, yeah, why not tell him, see how he feels about it. And of course, he knows his compliment. I actually got a lot of foreign viewers telling me that, girl, you're so bold for telling him that.
Yes.
Because he's got female fans abroad as well. I mean, abroad, here as well. which is quite fun, is that I think a few weeks after, I went to Man City again, and their press officer, we're just talking about like the players' nicknames in Chinese, and he was like, yeah, Ruben's nickname is Hubby, right? Like, the press officer remembered it, and he thought it was quite fun. And sometimes I show them like pictures that Chinese fans drew for players, especially for Man City, because City fans, I feel like they're younger, so they like to show their appreciation this way, which I adore as well. A lot of times I show them pictures, so one time the press officer asked me, are there any pictures today that we're going to see? So he even asked me if there's something to come. So I feel like it's very different for them because it's a very Asian thing. They didn't experience this before, but once they kind of get a feel of it and know it all comes from a place of love, passion for the game, they try to understand it. That's what we want to do.
I remember you also asked Jorginho to write the Chinese character.
Oh, yeah. I have that picture. I can show it later. I think I have that.
I like Jorginho.
I like him as well because we actually first met at a event. So it's not like for a broadcaster. It's like a commercial event. And he was really nice because there were people there, I can tell, that were not nice. So he really stood out of how nice he was. And he remembered my name because, I mean, I didn't really introduce myself as who I work for, but I just like, we're just talking and he remembered my name. And then we had like a 10-minute slot together, and it was really fun to talk to. And he signed my shoe as well.
Because
I got nothing else for him to sign that day. I was like, can you sign my shoe? He's like, okay, no one asked me this today. You're the only one. Okay, why not? And then like a week later, we filmed that for Chinese New Year. And then he even asked me recommendation for a Chinese restaurant. And I sent him one. And he's like, oh, and then he replied to me saying, oh, thank you. I'm going to have a visit there. I wouldn't say he's a very... Because for that episode, we were trying some Chinese food. I wouldn't say he's like a very adventurous eater. He definitely wanted to try more. He didn't like fish or spicy food. But there were a few dishes that he really liked. I like him as a player.
Also, recently you interviewed Mu Salah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned like 2 years ago you interviewed him before then. He remembered.
Yeah, so Mu is very nice. I don't know... I feel a lot of, for a lot of players, it's the case. It is like if you don't watch any of his interviews, you don't know what he's like, his personality is like. Mo is very, very approachable. And he's always smiling. It's the type of person that if you look at him in the eye, he will smile at you. Not everyone is like that. So yeah, we had an interview about 2 years ago around this time. And it was on Zoom. So I'm not sure. A lot of times on Zoom, you don't know if they're going to remember you. Yeah. But yeah, he was like, yeah, I remember. I have really good memory. And then when we start, because that was like a small talk before we started. And when we start, I was like, yeah, it's been a long time. He's like, yeah, a couple of years. So he even said that at the beginning of the interview to acknowledge that we've spoken before, which is very nice. Not everyone's going to do that, you know. Yeah, you can have a joke with him. I always say to people that he's kind of sassy. He's very confident. He knows his qualities. And if there are things that he's good at, he's going to say he's good at those things. Yeah. Which I always appreciate. I mean, humble is nice, but if you're overly humble, it seems kind of fake. He's not like that. He knows his strength. It was always nice to chat with him. And I asked him about his perfume, and he told me, even showed me. I said, you smell really good, and he's really happy about it. Yeah. So, yeah, I always enjoy talking to players like that, because at the end of the day, you're talking to another person. It's on a human level. I don't see them as superstars. If we can sit in the same room, we're equal.
Actually, I quite like the series you did with the perfume. You ask a player what's their perfume to use. But also, as you mentioned, there are some negative comments about that. People don't like it. How do you deal with those negative online comments?
Yeah, a lot of times I feel like the comments don't even make sense. They're like, why are you asking them that? I was like, I'm talking to him. I can ask whatever I want. Right? And it's not part of the interview. We're just having a small talk. A lot of times, it's a great conversation starter. A lot of times they appreciate it. They're like, oh, do you want not to get my same perfume? Right? They actually wanted to recommend me something. I mean, if they don't want to tell me, they don't need to tell me. It's fine, right? They're old enough and mature enough to know how to defend themselves. If there's things they don't like, they'll tell me they don't like it. And I don't need you, someone who's never met them before, to tell me what I should or shouldn't ask, right? I mean... I know how to have a conversation. So a lot of times I feel like the comments are just like nonsense. But it does. I mean, everyone gets affected at some point. But I think like, I feel like you just need to know, kind of same as Mo Salah, you need to know where qualities are. And you got to have confidence in yourself that you know what you're doing is valuable. So, and then you know what they're saying is just utter nonsense. You don't need to believe. I mean, if you know there's... something that you don't really need to take into consideration. But at first, it was difficult. I feel like it does take time to know your value. And then you can try to block those voices.
Yeah, it reminds me about Taylor Swift when she first entered the entertaining industry. And she was like taking all the comments. And she got sad and crying. And she even changed her personality to... fit for other people's standards. But later, now look at her, she's become super powerful now.
Yeah, everyone loves Taylor now. So it does take time, and you gotta just keep doing what you're doing. And if you let those comments get to you and actually stop yourself from doing what you want to do, then they get their way, right? True. You don't want them to get their way.
Exactly, yeah. I admire your bravery on this part. And also when you share the initiative during the Women's World Cup, because you found out there's not enough like sanitary pad available. So can you walk me through like the whole initiative you did and what people's reaction?
Yeah, at first it was, I wasn't really planned. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to do something about it, but I thought for a country like Australia, there should be facilities like that. Because in England, at least at football stadiums, most of the time, you see sanitary products in women's bathroom. But when we got to Australia, when I went to the stadiums for games, China's games, there weren't any sanitary products. So luckily, because we arrived quite early, like quite a lot in advance before the World Cup started. So I contacted some of my friends saying that if you knew any company that's willing to do this, because we didn't make any money from it. Mm-hmm. It's all pro bono. So my friend knew a company that makes sanitary products, and they just would like to send me, I think 300, a few boxes to Australia so I can give them away just to raise awareness. I know a lot of people say, oh, why you do this? Like, people don't need it. But it's more about raising awareness, right? People need to know something like this should be more accessible at public restrooms. After we received the pads, because it wasn't really planned, so it was just me and a friend who lives in Australia. She came to, I think it was in Perth. Or Adelaide, I think it's in, yeah, Adelaide. She flew from Sydney to Adelaide to watch the games with me, and she helped me film it on my phone. So you could tell the video is not well made. Mm-hmm. Like, the quality is not the best. Sometimes you can't even hear what people are saying because it's really not planned. It's not a commercial, anything. It's just something I really wanted to do and proud to do. So I think it does raise awareness and gets people talking, which is what we want, because it doesn't matter if there are negative comments or not. As long as people are talking about it, there will be more people that realize that products like this should be more accessible for women. So I think that was, because it wasn't planned, right? So I think it's still a good tryout. I will do more things like this in the future. I think one good thing for England is people do know that things like this are essential items. Because if you go to Marks and Spencer's, by the cashier, you see a little rack listing items that are essential, and pads is there. So I don't think it's a conversation that needs to be had here. But back home, maybe we need to do more.
Yeah. One thing I found out in England, especially for the development of for women's football, is amazing. When I grew up, my dad always took me to the stadium. But when I told him I want to play football, she said, oh, it's not for girls. That's back to 1990s. But now you see in the park, all the girls are playing football, and the women's league, just like the derby game yesterday. Yeah, you just see the development of women's football like growing so fast. Yeah, I'm super happy to see that. In terms of you working in this male-dominated environment, what's your overall experience? Do you find any challenges still need to improve, or what's your observation?
So sorry about playing football. So last season I live in London. At first I lived with my friend, and then I moved out to get my own place because I'm bigger now. But my friend is English, and they have two daughters. The bigger daughter plays football just because she likes it. I feel like in back home, sometimes when you play football, they think you gotta have a career in football. It doesn't have to be like that. It can just be something that you like to do. It's a hobby. And she loves women's football. Like, she can name the whole England squad, the women's England squad. And for men's squad, she doesn't know too much about, but she just loves women's football. Yeah. So is my friend. Like, you think, oh, you're a guy, you probably know more about Premier League and stuff. No, he knows more about women's football. Because he genuinely thinks it's a very empowering thing. And also because daughter is playing football, they're very supportive. And so even these young girls, they're 9 years old, they have their, I was in a league, but they have their local club, they have their teams. Well, they described to me that they don't necessarily play that well, but they love doing it. And eventually they'll get better. It doesn't matter. Even if you don't get better, what's wrong with that, right? You enjoy playing. Yeah, so back to the industry. Here, I feel like it is still mainly guys doing this job. There are more and more girls coming into this industry. But I did notice like one time, it was last season, I had a friend of mine driving me to a club. My friend is white and he's 6'2". He's really tall. But he was just driving me there. He didn't have anything to do with the work that we got to do. But when we got there, everyone talked to him as if he was my manager or something, as if I couldn't make my own decisions. I didn't notice that at first because it was my first few interviews here in person, so I didn't really notice that at first, but he noticed that. He was like, they shouldn't be talking to me just because I'm a guy. And then he just stepped away. Mm. So to make people realize that I'm my own boss.
Yeah.
So it does happen, but from time to time, I think they'll realize that girls are very good at their job as well.
True. Yeah. I see a lot of like podcasts and even the broadcasts, the anchor, they use girls a lot. Even in China, like Migu TV, we just mentioned before, and they start to having a girls commentary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's an improvement now.
Come on, football is not rocket science, right? Anyone can understand football. Do you think they're just smartest people in this industry? No, actually, I'm not bashing them. But for example, I think one time I talked to Sean Wright Phillips, who used to play for Man City. He said he didn't like to prepare for things. He's like just to get questions on the spot and he can just answer them. I was like, oh, did you do that when you were at school that you didn't review any of your subjects before exams? It's like, I'm not very good at exams. That's why I play football. I mean, it really is not something that difficult to understand. So a lot of times I feel like people just see that's a girl and they just start bashing them. So you really got to think to yourself, do you actually listen to what they have to say or you just don't like women?
Mm-hmm. When I dated with boys and they didn't know I'm a football fan, so they start to explain, okay, this is offside, this is corner. I said,
yeah,
okay.
It happened to me one time as well. I was on this first date with a guy, and I mean, I think he knew I'm a football fan, but he still didn't really believe me. So he just started quizzing me about the World Cup history, like who won this World Cup, who won that one before. And a lot of times, the thing is, like when people question you, a lot of times they don't even know the answers. So this guy had to Google the answers himself to make sure I got the right answers. Yeah. And that was a huge red flag. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You've interviewed so many different players and coaches. What popped up into your mind now, like the most memorable one?
Well, the first one I ever... Well, my first ever interview was with Kylian Mbappe. That's always going to be very special for me because I would say that was the start of my career. Also, because if the first one you ever talk to is Kylian Mbappe, there really is no way up, right? He is the biggest player and he will be for the next 10 years. So, of course, I was nervous, but after that, nothing fixes you. I really enjoyed that chat. It was 30 minutes long and Kylian was really... You know, a lot of times some players they don't even try. They just answer questions. They don't even try. They don't go out of their ways to make it more entertaining to watch. But Kylian really, he tried to have crack jokes a few times and give me really good answers and even ask me questions. So, yeah, I still enjoy that. That was back in 2020, so almost 4 years ago, but I still remember that one. And other ones, I would say if you see me talking about it a lot, that means I like, because there are ones that I don't enjoy. And I don't like bad-mouthing people. So if it's bad, I don't really say it's bad. But if it's good, I'm going to say how good it is.
Yeah, since we're talking about Kylian Mbappe, let's talk about Haaland and Bellingham. You also interviewed them. Can you share some stories about those young players?
Yeah, Erling, at first... Because when he was at Dortmund, he wasn't the best choice to talk to, I guess, because answers were really short. But I think that's his sense of humor. He didn't try to humiliate anyone. He just, like, that's how his personalities are like. I think Martin Odegaard even said it. He's like, when Erling was doing something silly, he knew he did it on purpose. Like, he knew he was trying to be fun. But after he got to Man City, I feel like nowadays is getting better and better at doing interviews. That was probably one of our most successful interviews because we asked him the star one, bench one, star one question, which at first I thought the club probably was not going to approve it because it gets people talking. It's kind of controversial, but I was just surprised to see the club was fine with it. So I asked him the question and the answer was even better. So that one really went viral because you know if something is viral, the players see it themselves. So Martin Odegaard saw it, yeah. And Jude Bellingham saw it. So players that actually mentioned in the interview saw it themselves without me asking. Especially, they acknowledge it, you know, because when I ask them about it, they can totally say, oh, I never seen it before. Mm-hmm. But they're like, yeah, I've seen it. I know what he said. to have them acknowledging that on camera is powerful. I got to say, I'm not blowing my own trumpet, blowing my own horn, but it's something a lot of people in this industry for decades, they probably haven't achieved that. And we did that within a year. So I think that really shows that what we're doing works. It does get people talking and watching, even players themselves. Yeah, so for Jude, he's very mature for his age, and you can just tell he's a nice person to talk to. He actually can have a conversation with you. I think I flew to Madrid for that, and I think there were people that work for that company that is a football car company. They were asking Jude about what sneakers he was wearing, and Jude was like, oh, I got it from like a runway or something. It'd be hard for you to find the same pair. Like, he was just like really fun to talk to without being condescending. He didn't show that he's a star, although he really is. He's I think he's gonna be the biggest star for English football in the next decade.
Yeah, and I saw his son on your shirt. Yeah. Like, what a scarf! He's just a very like a down to earth guy.
Yeah, he's when I walked in, he just pointed at my scarf, saying, "I like your scarf." Yeah. I was like, "Oh, thank you." And then, because I wanted to get a shirt printed because it's better that way, it looks better, but I got the shirt. It's not the newest shirt. At that time, the newest shirt hasn't been released yet. When I try to get the numbers printed, they don't have any in stock. So I just showed up with a blank shirt. I was like, can you sign on the back instead? So it's like, they were all laughing because I don't think anyone's asked him that. But I think like it's more special this way because he actually wrote down his number. He was like, what number should I write? He's like, whatever, whichever you like. And then he rolled 22, I guess, because that's his number at Dortmund. So it's quite sentimental for him as well. When they write to you in person, you want something more personal. So he actually wrote, what a scarf. It's something exactly from that moment. Yeah. So I really, really appreciate that. And how funny is that?
True. Yeah, I found that picture is very interesting. Yeah. And I see people see your job maybe as a very glamorous, like you got a chance to talk to the players. But I know it must be a lot of efforts you need to make. Is there any like behind the scene stories people probably won't know about how difficult this job is?
I still gotta say it's a privilege to do this job. Every day I'm grateful for what I have. I mean, every job is difficult, isn't it? I cannot say, oh, this is really harsh and it's a hard job, because I know I get and I see the perks, and so I need to check my privilege from time to time. But of course there are challenges and obstacles. For example, because I started watching football since 06, how many years now? 18 years, bloody hell. So it does take years of passion for the game, because it's not something you can just pick up in 2 days. You need to genuinely be a fan. So whenever you see a player, maybe he was not that famous, but because of the time that you watch football, you know who that is. And when they talk about a certain game, you can remember what they were talking about. So yeah, you gotta have that first, and then to have the language proficiency to do this in English. It's not the easiest job because you don't see a lot of foreigners. By foreigners, I mean non-English or non-English speaking people here that can try to make an influence, because you go to TV or the major media outlets. There are still, most of them are English people or people from English-speaking country. English is still my second language. Doesn't matter how many years I've learned it. Mm. So it's still quite challenging sometimes. It's definitely harder than doing this in Chinese.
Yeah.
Also, because you do this face-to-face, you see their reaction on the spot. If they don't like what you're talking about, you do feel it.
Mm.
Although, I would like to think I'm good at conversation, so I don't have that happen to me much. But nobody likes to be rejected on the spot. But it does happen. And then you do get criticized a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people don't know anything about your job, trying to say you're doing a shitty job, which is so unfair, because I feel like for any other job, they wouldn't have a say. But just because what you do is public, the thing, they know more.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's really ridiculous. Like, because if you're doing a great job, you can feel it, right? You have a good feeling after. And it's mutual. If you're feeling good, the players feel good as well. And a lot of times they do tell me, they text me saying that, oh, that was fun, that's a good interview. And when that happens, still, sometimes I got comments saying that was really bad, it was really awkward. I was like, the player literally just, we're just chatting, like, how much fun he was having, and you're telling me he's feeling awkward? Did you, really? Come on. So I wouldn't say it's the easiest job. I also wouldn't say it's the hardest job. I do feel like I'm in a very lucky position to be doing this.
Mm. Yeah, I know you are a United fan, and when you watch the game or interview United players, as a journalist, you shouldn't have this bias. But what are you really feeling inside?
I think I'm pretty good at detaching myself from the fan side of me. Whenever I go to any games, I'm really, really calm. You don't see pretty much any reaction from me.
Mm.
And when I talk to them, it doesn't matter which team they play for, they're all the same to me. Like, for United players, I feel like I know them a little bit better because it's my team. So a lot of them, for example, David De Gea, when he was still there, I've been watching him for over 10 years. So, of course, I knew him a little bit better. But it doesn't change how I approach them. It's still the same. They're all equal to me. I don't see anyone as superstars, or I favor anyone, one of them. I think that's one thing that people don't notice. Like, a lot of people do see people in this industry posting pictures, so they think, oh, you're just chilling with player all the time. It's not really like that, right? You cannot be a fan. If you cannot detach yourself from the fan side, this job is not for you. And I know, I've seen people that can't do that.
Mm.
When they think they can, but when they see the player up close, they're like, can I get a picture? Can I get this signed? Which is not allowed on a match day.
Even for some big names like Jimmy Carragher and Gary Neville, when Liverpool play Man United, I don't know if it's for the entertainment effect or what, but they are like...
Yeah, I think for them is they're different because they got this job because of their playing career. And it does add to the entertainment and attraction of the show. So they do fight a lot. But I think, like, when they are doing commentary, they still do their job. It just sometimes, for example, like, I remember one game. It could be the 7-0 or something.
Yeah.
There was a few minutes where Gary was just silent. There was only one person talking. I think he was just sulking. Yeah, but they're different. You cannot really compare all commentators to Gary and Jamie. They got their playing career, a lot of them. No, if you're just a general commentator, you need to be unbiased.
True. Now let's talk about Chinese football, because a lot of English speaking fans, they couldn't understand why China has such a huge population, but our football team is so bad.
Mm.
So what's your opinion about the current state of Chinese football?
Well, I think we've all seen the documentary, was it last year, about the former national team manager?
Yeah.
Who's in jail now.
Mm.
So there is systemic issues in China football. But I feel like that's also a rabbit hole that we don't really want to go down, because it's just too many layers to this problem. But I genuinely think that football is for Chinese people, because we've seen people of the same race, like Koreans, South Koreans, Japan. They got good players. So I think it really shows that as East Asians, we can do it. And with such a big population, there's not possible that we don't have just 20 players. Yeah, it's a rabbit hole we don't really want to go down, because there are things it's a bit too dark behind the scenes maybe. But I know I noticed one thing that our fans are still really passionate about football. And I genuinely think if our team, our national team, does better, it's going to revive the whole industry in China. It's going to help with our, not just Chinese football. There will be more people watching the Premier League as well because they think it's a popular sport. Mm-hmm. So I think as a Chinese fan, we do need to have hope for this national team and want them to do well. I know some people like to laugh at people's failures, but when it comes to your national team, it's not going to be beneficial in the long term. So it doesn't matter how they're doing now, I still need to support them because I know if they do well, it's going to be huge for this industry.
And a lot of football clubs, they are surprised to see they have such a huge fan base in China. Mm. So when I grew up, a lot of people follow Barcelona and Real Madrid, and now you can see Man City, United, Liverpool fan everywhere. So they're like very curious to know like how people get into it, why they are following us.
Yeah, actually you'd be surprised to see how many smaller teams have their own fan base as well. Like I mean, Leeds is not a small team, but they were in the championship for so long. And they have diehard fans. They have a group chat of over 200 people. Mm. And they just love Leeds. And for big games, they all organize a watch along together at a city. Sometimes I think it's in the south of China, because Leeds is still a big club. Mm. There are smaller teams, I think. One time I went to Bristol Rovers, and there were even fans of them in China. They're in League One. It's crazy to think.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you'd be amazed at how many fans the foreign clubs have in China. Mm. People are just genuinely interested in football.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity for them as well.
Yeah.
Like get the overseas fans, fan base. Yeah. And speaking of the footballer's nickname, can you share some interesting nicknames for my English listeners?
I think husband is a fun one. Mm. What else? Well, the reason one is Mo, because he likes cats and people think he's got a cat personality. So they call him cat as well. Also because Mo, the pronunciation in Chinese is kind of similar to the pronunciation of cat. Mm-hmm. Kevin De Bruyne is Ting Ting and he knows that as well. Animal symbolism is a huge part for Asian culture. Like our zodiacs is all animals. Mm. So a lot of times we need to associate animals with people. So many nicknames do come from animals.
Yeah, like Bernard Silver.
Yeah, Bernardo is a bunny. And actually, last year, because it was the year of the rabbit, Man City, because they do value the Chinese market, they do a lot of content for Chinese fans, they asked Bernardo to say, "Hello, everyone, I am bunny." In Chinese, that was really funny. Yeah. Even now I think about it. I love that. Yeah. And like Levi Colwell, Chelsea player, people see him as a Shiba Inu.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his nickname. And I gave him a toy of Shiba Inu on his birthday as well, which is it was surprising for him. But I think he gets it. Yeah, a lot of them just come from animals, which a lot of times is quite different from what people hear experience, but it does make sense, you know. Oh, I remember one, because Diogo Jota's nickname is, they think he looks like a rabbit or bunny. So I told my cameraman, who's an Englishman, he's 40s, that, oh, people think Diogo looks like a bunny. He's like, no, he doesn't. Don't tell him that. But the second Diogo walked in, he was like, yeah, I see it now. So a lot of times there's truth to it, right? People just don't make something out of the thin air. They do see the resemblance. That's why they're called this name. So I'm quite close to a few journalists, because not everyone is nice, but some of them are. His name is Nazar Kinsella. He reports on Chelsea, but he's a United fan. I told him that Mason Mount is seen by Chinese fans as a Pomeranian. He was like, that's really interesting. What am I then as an animal? So he wants to know what he looks like as an animal. So I post about it. Okay. So there are like people commenting saying like he looks like this and that. So yeah, people are intrigued.
Yeah. It's very funny, yeah. And a lot of players, they even learn Chinese, right? The Nottingham Forest player, yes. Alan Ge.
So a lot of them, we try to teach them a few things to say for Chinese New Year, because it's the biggest thing. Oh, for Pochettino, I really like Pochettino. It doesn't matter if you think what he's doing with Chelsea now, but I like him as a person. First time I met him, so the press officer told him, oh, next one is from our Chinese broadcaster. Her name is Liv. And he was like, oh, you're from China. And he just said, ni hao, straight up to me. I didn't ask him that. He just, because he knew I was from China, so he was like, yeah, ni hao. And I was like, oh, we need to have that at the start, as a beginning. He's like, yeah, let's do it again. So he was really nice, and he's always been nice to me. He invited me to his office when I was at their training ground. He showed me pictures when he visited China, because he first visited when he was still playing for Espanol. For Anthony Elanga, that was quite a interesting case, because a lot of players, they know a few words, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't really plan to learn Chinese, because it's very different from what they know, right? It's not a phonetic language. There are no letters. And what are the chances of them using Chinese in Europe? But he seized opportunities for China, because, he knows Jesse Lingard. Jesse was popular in China, and he's always down to say a few things in Chinese, and he actually learned really well. But Anthony thinks he can, because he's good at languages, he already speaks four. Wow. So he thinks it's a challenge for him to actually learn this language, which is so different from what he already knows. But when I first spoke to him, he didn't have a teacher yet. So I told him that you need to have a proper teacher, because it's not a language that you can learn it by yourself. Mm-hmm. And so he asked me, oh, can you please send me links to some textbooks so I can get them. I didn't write him right after, because I wanted to have my research first and see which textbook is the best for him. So I didn't write him right after. And then he texted me first saying that, don't forget to send me the links. I was like, okay.
Very eager to learn.
Yeah, so after a few days, after I had, because I asked people what textbooks are the best, they got me a lot of recommendations. So I had a look at the ones they sent me over. I sent him two options. And I think he said the club's going to help get him a teacher. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see if he's actually going to learn it properly. Because there are quite a lot of Chinese people in Nottingham, the city. Because of the university, they do exchange program with a university in China. So I think it wouldn't be too difficult for him to find a teacher.
Yeah, we'll see one day. Maybe you can do an interview with him in Chinese.
Yeah, because to be honest, to be able to speak Chinese in the Premier League, it's not a huge plus. You do represent the huge country, but there aren't Chinese-speaking players or managers here. For example, if you're from Portugal or Brazil, there are plenty of Portuguese-speaking players you can talk to. So on a match day, of course, they will try to assign you to a player that speaks the same language as you. Here, I'm just the same as every other English person that speaks English. So yeah, if there is a player that speaks Chinese, it's going to be a huge benefit for him as well. Imagine if there's really a Premier League player that speaks Chinese. Yeah. The whole country is going to fall for him.
Exactly. So back to you. What's this year's focus? And do you have any plan for the future?
Well, the Euro is coming. So we're going to try to do something around that. And then just pretty much just take it one day at a time, really. I mean, I know where I want to end up eventually, but I don't like to plan every single step.
Can you share what was your ultimate dream?
As a foreigner here, a lot of times you do get seen differently because you're foreign. I think eventually you want to be seen as equal. You don't want people to treat you, to give you special treatment because you're foreign. You want to earn your place because you deserve it, not because you're a foreigner.
Is there anything else you'd like to add on? And people, if they want to follow your works, where can they find you?
I'm active on pretty much all the platforms. I'm on Instagram, on TikTok, on Douyin, on other Chinese platforms as well. If you just search my name, you can find me. It's Liv Wang. In English, it's Liv Wang. I hope there will be more girls genuinely interested in football, because it's a fun sport. We do need more support. And hopefully we get to create more fun content in the future, because that's what we do it for.
Yep. Great. Thank you so much, Liv.
Thank you for having me.
Very nice to talk to you.